is brought to us from Luke 24, verse 36 through 49. If you want to read along. While they were still thinking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you have seen I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Reading of the word of the Lord. Let's come before him in prayer. O Lord, most mighty and wonderful God, Lord, we just thank you and give you all praise and honor and glory this morning. Lord, we just ask that you bless this message and bless me as I preach this message, Lord, and just let these not be my words, but with yours. So open our hearts and our minds that we may understand who you are and what you have done for us. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. How many of you have been away from someone that you love for even more than a few days? Or maybe they were away from you. I want to tell you a story that my dad told me when he was 8 years old. He went to the airport with his family to welcome home from Vietnam his Uncle Tony. In those days, the family would gather on the airstrip and you could watch the plane land and they would get off the plane in front of you. And he remembers standing by his parents as an 8-year-old, and he looked over and saw his aunt, and it was her husband that was coming off the plane, and he saw her crying. And he wondered, why would she cry? He's home. She should be happy. Why is she so sad? Then his wheels started turning in an 8-year-old mind, and he realized that those were tears of joy. And it was his first time ever experiencing tears of joy, and he never forgot that. I want to think about that. Put yourself in Jesus' day, the disciples of Jesus. Do you think there were some tears of joy when he appeared to them after they thought he was dead? Let's relive what they just saw him go through. They saw him suffer and die on that cross. They were in a state of shock and disbelief. They had seen Jesus perform miracles and raise people from the dead, and now he's dead? It doesn't make any sense. How could this be? What now? How could he leave them? As you can imagine, they felt alone. life doesn't always go the way that we hope it will. Sudden loss of friends, family, maybe a diagnosis of illness or disease. Loss of a job, something else that's very important to us. We often wonder, where is God? How could he leave us? We feel so alone. We may feel like we have left everything to follow him. And then he forgot about us. The disciples couldn't believe that Jesus was there with them when he appeared, because they were in a place where their faith was shaken. They didn't know what to believe anymore. Maybe they were feeling sorry for themselves. How often have you and I been left feeling sorry for ourselves? Maybe we get to that point of feeling that God doesn't care. Maybe we even avoided difficult situations in order to not stand up for our belief. The inward focus is part of our human nature. These disciples showed that in the way that they fell asleep while Jesus was praying. And Peter denied Jesus just to save himself from possible difficulties. I know that I can be that way. Wake up in the morning praising God, and something happens that same day, makes me wonder, God, where are you? Have you ever been in a terrible situation and then felt God's presence and peace wash over you? Or maybe you failed at something over and over and realized that God is trying to point you in a different direction. God knows what you need and when you need it. He offers help freely. It's up to us to set aside our fleshly desires and ideas. We need to become vulnerable. And being vulnerable is hard. It's uncomfortable. We must come to that point that we cannot do it by ourselves. Only God can help us. It is through his strength and his power that we are able to do what we can do. We even see that Jesus himself in his human nature came to that point of feeling left alone by his Father. Matthew 27 verse 46. I want to just point out this picture here. And this is a picture that I got off the internet. But I just feel like it describes it so well, because you see Jesus, and you don't see the crowds. He's alone. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Did Jesus forget who he was? Did he doubt his Father? No. Jesus knew that this needed to happen. This was a trial that Jesus needed to face. Jesus knew that he had to show his followers that faith is worth dying for. It was necessary for Jesus to feel that loneliness so that he could relate to us on every possible level. Jesus knows our hearts. He knows what it's like to feel alone. He truly loves his people so much that he died for us. He died in the most painful, humiliating, and public way. Remember, the reason that the Father sent the Son to endure these unspeakable pains was out of love. God the Father loves Jesus. And Jesus is fully God. He's not just a human. But the love that he has for his creation is stronger than the love that he has for himself. As humans, this is unfathomable for us to think about. It makes no sense. This is the almighty, powerful God. He is the beginning and the end. When Adam and Eve fell, God could have wiped out creation and started all over with a new and perfect creation. But instead, he chose to extend unconditional love all the way to the point that the Creator would come down and meet the created, come to our level. Not that we bring him to our level, but he willingly loves us so much that he comes down to our level. You see, if we focus on our situations and difficulties in this life, we can lose sight of God. We can lose sight of what he has done for us. God is still there, waiting for us to open our eyes and see him. It's almost humorous in this instance in Luke. The disciples were meeting right after Jesus had appeared to the two on the road to Damascus. And if you look at verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. They're literally in the middle of sharing their stories about how some of them have seen Christ. And when Jesus is suddenly there, they don't even believe it's him. The disciples and followers of Jesus should have known that Jesus was truly God. They walked with him for years. Many of them, at some point, most likely even testified to others that Jesus was the Messiah. But did they understand, really understand, that Jesus was God? And of course, it's impossible to know their hearts. However, some of them must have believed that Jesus was more than simply a man. Although we have many examples in Scripture where nearly all of Jesus' followers thought at some point that Jesus was going to be an earthly king of the Jews, that he was going to deliver the Jews in an earthly sense. And some of them believed that he might be a prophet, a great prophet. But he asked them, "Why do doubts arise in your minds?" Why was it so hard for them to believe that Christ was standing among them? At first, he may have just plain scared them as a gathering, and he suddenly appears. But more than that, it was an unexpected time and place. We all have these ideas of where and when God will show up. We come to church expecting to be in God's presence. But God works in church, absolutely. Sometimes during our daily lives, when we least expect him, he shows up. Then we see in verse 41, well, they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. We see a complete 180 here in the minds of these followers. They realize that Jesus is truly God. They were overcome with joy and amazement. In other words, they were speechless. No one can even move until he asked for something to eat. This was the turning point in many of these followers' hearts. Up to this point, many of them were only following Jesus because they thought he was going to become an earthly king of the Jews or a great prophet. It is now that they realize that Jesus died for them. They're shown that this is how much God loves his people. Jesus gives them this gift freely. He says to them, "I did this for you." He says to us, "I did this for you." And then he gives them both a great gift and a great responsibility. If we look in verse 48 and 49, he says, "You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When God shows up in our lives, we are his witnesses. And he will fill us with the power of his Holy Spirit that he's talking about here. We need to pray and ask for this filling, this Holy Spirit. So my challenge to you today, for you and I, we need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, am I following Jesus in a way that brings glory and honor to him? Or do I simply follow Jesus for the benefits that I may receive? Think about that. Pray about that. Because Jesus deserves all of the honor and glory in all situations. And he is there in all situations. Do you truly believe that Jesus is Lord? If so, do you know him in a way that you can feel his presence? Or do you outwardly believe in him as a way to get to heaven? Let me tell you something. If you're a follower of Christ only because you're interested in what Christ can do for you, you have your heart set in the wrong place. The truth is, Jesus Christ has died for the sins of his people. He gives that freely to those who really believe in him, because they see that all this world has to offer adds up to nothing compared to him. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 8, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." Garbage. We have so many valuable things in this life, but what are they compared to Jesus? The church is Jesus' bride. His death and resurrection are his vows to us. He will be with his people in good times and in bad, sickness and health, richer or poorer. The Father lovingly watches over His children. We will all make mistakes. We will all go through tough times in this life. We know that just because we're believers doesn't mean that life will be easy or perfect. This is still a fallen world. We'll still have bad days when we feel like God forgot about us. Jesus' death on the cross was not the end of His work here on earth, though it was the most important part of His work. Even after His death, His disciples didn't understand what had happened, even though Jesus had told them over and over again that He was going to die and be raised again in 3 days. The disciples were shocked when it actually happened. God has promised to be there for His people. So why are we doubtful that He will and surprised when He does? As early as Exodus 3, verse 12, God promises to be with Moses. And in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, God promised to be there for His people. It says, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes God's greatest plans not make sense to us at all. God's ways are not our ways. But if we believe in Him, Jesus will send that Holy Spirit to walk with us through this difficult life. He loves us. So He's willing to meet us where we are. I encourage you, open your heart to Him, because He is everything. Amen.